Volleyball ends its most successful ever season. Basketball splits games against Dakota Wesleyan. And Caden Mima is a national champion. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 14 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kai Ulbrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
I'm doing good, but that was some bars right there when you started the episode. You mean, split with Dakota Wesleyan and then national champion. Like, that was bars, man, but I'm doing good. Now, let's get started with, you know, the traumatic part, even though it's the highly likely volleyball, you know, ending their season a little bit on a sad note, though.
Yes, definitely. So, like you said, a sad note to end the season for the volleyball team. Ended up losing in the semifinals, so one game away from making that national championship match, but, like I mentioned in the opening, still their most successful season ever. Out of the last 5 years, two of them have been losses in the quarterfinals. So this is the first time they've made it to that semifinal match. I think it's a great step forward for them and maybe something they can build off next season. I know they have a lot of seniors on this team, right?
Absolutely.
You think of Ashley Keck, you think of Molly Martin, you think of Kaya Scott, lots of others I didn't even name. Those are some of the bigger names. You got Lily Psenchik, Savannah Shelburne, all those girls graduating, but leaving a very strong legacy behind and something hopefully a lot of these younger players can build off. I think of Ella Waters still on the team. You got Ava Green coming back. Shandy Fa'ali'i coming back. So you got a good young base for this team as well on top of all the seniors. But to dive into this loss against Northwestern, unfortunately, it was not very pretty, especially down the stretch. The game started off extremely well for Concordia. We went up 19-13 in the first set.
Oh, boy.
And then Northwestern came back to win that one 25-23. So they went on a basically 12-4 run against us.
That's a huge run.
To come back in the first set. And that seemed to take maybe a mental toll on the Bulldogs because we still haven't – we've lost them twice this season, right. Northwestern. 3-1 in both of those games previously. So you think you're winning, you're expecting to win that first set when you're up by 6 with just 6 points to go.
Yes.
And then to end up losing that one, that probably doesn't feel too good. Kind of saps your confidence a little bit, especially because this team's been so good in the back half of sets. You know, we talk about their motto, let it rip.
Yes.
Consistently, they win when it's close at the end of sets. That's just what they do.
Yep.
In that game against Providence, which we'll talk about, that quarterfinal game, they ended up winning a close fifth set. So they've been really good when the pressure's on. So this probably was a confidence killer for them because they went on to lose the second set 25-13, and then they did not hit double digits in the third set, 25-9.
See, now, obviously, let's give credit to Northwestern, you know, being, yes, like that good of a team as well, too, for obviously, you know, getting that stuff done. And obviously, even though it's a little bit of a hard hit toll for our Bulldogs, I'll still give them that, like, this was a pretty successful thing, me making it semifinals for the first time, because every time they went to the nationals, they always lost in the quarterfinals. But
yeah,
you can see things that there's chemistry building up on this team.
Yes, absolutely. And I think about looking at the brackets, it's the top four teams in the country are in that bracket.
Yes.
You know, it's not like we lost to – it wasn't like we got upset by someone. It was – this was the number two team in the country, Northwestern, playing the number three team in the country, Concordia. And Northwestern was better in that game, and it is what it is.
It is what it is, but
– Concordia was ranked in the top five all season long, Northwestern – after the first preseason poll, they were in the top, I believe, top three all season long. So it's not like lost to a bad team. They're 33-3 on the season. We're 27-4. So definitely an incredible season. The most successful ever. We'll just look at a little bit of the stats and kind of diagnose what went wrong. It was really an issue with hitting. It's as simple as that. Northwestern hit 250. We hit .051. In the first set, we were hitting 177, and then we were negative in the second and third sets. So that's pretty much what it was. We didn't hit well enough. Northwestern was 175 in the first set. Then they were in the 300s for the next two. Just individually, we had Ashley Keck had a really good game, despite how the team was hitting in general. She had 13 kills on 46 attacks with 5 errors for a 174 percentage. And then we had Ella Waters, 6 kills, 3 errors on 19 attacks for a 158. No one else really getting to the net. Molly Martin had 3 kills on 10 of her swings with 2 errors, but then everyone else was pretty much even. Ava Green was 1 kill, 1 error. Shandy Folly was 1 kill, 1 error. And then a couple of our girls were in the negatives as well. So just unfortunate to not be hitting great. Northwestern had some girls who were hitting really well. They had Stella Winterfield getting 14 kills, kind of matching up with Ashley pretty well. We also didn't dig the ball out that well. Of course, it was a short game, so you don't have as many of those attacks or opportunities to dig. But well, Northwestern kept the ball up 69 of those times. We only had 60 of them. They blocked much better than us. We had 8 block assists, 1 solo. They had 16 and 1. So just a whole collection of things that led to that result. Like I mentioned, it was really close in the first set. Unlucky to not win that one, but then the second and third was kind of where it all fell apart for them.
Yeah.
But despite all of that, like we've mentioned a bunch of times, still an incredible season from the Bulldogs, national semifinalist, one of the top 4 teams in the nation. Nothing to hang your head about at all.
You're right. Absolutely.
So to talk about things definitely not to hang your head about, just to lift them up a little bit, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that quarterfinal game, which they did win, which was a very exciting game.
Yes.
So they beat the Masters University in their last pool play game 3-1. We won't talk too much about that. It was a mostly comfortable game, 3-1. But then we faced off with University of Providence in the quarterfinals, and that was very close to turning out poorly. But we got the job done. We took the first 2 sets, 25-20 and 25-22. Then Providence came back and took a dominant third set, 25-15, and then they ended up beating us in extra points, 27-25 in the fourth set, bringing us into a fifth set, which we ended up winning 15-12. I watched the fifth set. It was so long. There were like 3 different reviews because there were 3 different plays where it was, oh, did it, you know, skim off a finger on the block and then go out? Okay. Did it hit the line or was it just out of line? I think we won all 3 of the challenges, so that was nice. But just to talk about some of our girls who did really well in this game, I keep saying her name, but Ashley Keck, 24 kills on 78 attempts. We were setting her a lot in this game. Kaya Scott had a really solid game, 14 kills on 39 attempts with just 6 errors. Ava Green, 4 kills, no errors. We had Maddie Paulson with 4 kills on 14 attempts. Digging was really good. We had 116 to Providence's 100. Blocking was much better in this game than the other one. 14 block assists, 2 solos. We had Lily Psenchik and Savannah Shelburne really splitting those setting duties. Lily got 32 assists. Savannah got 33. So very even from those two. And then Ashley Keck led the way with 29 digs. She's in the game pretty much the entire thing. We don't give her many breaks.
Right.
Because she can do it in the front row. She can do it in the back row. She can do it pretty much anywhere we put her. She's usually pretty good on those serves as well. Looks like she got 2 aces in that game as well. Claire Everett got 2 aces as well. She's one of those back row girls. She got 14 digs. A really solid team performance from the Bulldogs to be able to bounce back after almost getting reverse swept. You know, you win 2, and then if you lose 2, you got to be thinking, oh, no, we can't be getting reverse swept here. But they held out strong and ended up getting that win.
Yeah, so I'm going to tip my hat off to, obviously, the coach and all the players, especially the seniors, who obviously did their absolute best to try bring a national championship to Concordia. Just not enough with it. But, I mean, it's a little bit of a sad moment because, obviously, how much harder you fought. But I'll still take this is that you've done something first in the school's history to go to the semifinal as well. So obviously for people listening with it, like if you obviously see like a volleyball player, give them some head up positive things about how they did this season with it. Cause losing in an NAI tournament, a national tournament and getting close to the championship does hurt. And, you know, they obviously are going to have to live with that for a while, as well as seeing some of their close senior friends to go away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember talking to a lot of the senior girls on senior night, and a lot of them were saying a national champion and all that would be amazing, and that's the goal of the season. But really, if nothing else, we want to just get closer to each other and spend as much time together as possible. And one of the main motivations for making it far was, you know, you get to practice an extra week with your teammates. You get to play just one more game with them. And yeah, so I think they did really well in that regard. They missed out on one extra day. They extended the season almost as far as it could possibly go. So definitely nothing to, you know, be too sad about.
Yeah, exactly.
And another quick thing about records. Coach Bolt is now the winningest head coach in the history of Concordia Volleyball. He got that record in their quarterfinal win over Providence. He spent 8 years at the helm of the Bulldog volleyball team, and he is 182 wins, 54 losses.
He hasn't even hit the 60s digit yet?
Nope.
See, that's a W right there for the coach. I mean, like, 181, right?
182. He wins 77% of every game.
That's a high percentage of winning games. That's a definition of a winning program and a winning coach who cares about their athletes along on the long term wise than the short term wise.
Absolutely. So incredible from this team. Very happy for everything that they've been able to do. And yeah, Ashley Keck also moved her way up the all time kills chart. She's over 1,300 in her career. So I think she passed up Gabby Nordiker, who was a former teammate of hers, with over 1,300 kills to get into the top three of that record board.
Congratulations to her. Congratulations to the coach, Coach Bolt.
Yes, absolutely. But now, moving on to a team that is moving up in the ranks. So, you know, Concordia Volleyball, everyone knows they're going to be good at the start of the year. They're always good. Talking about men's basketball, of course, men's basketball is usually pretty good too, but we're not highly ranked coming into the season. You lose Noah Schutt, you lose Tristan Smith, you lose some other important seniors. You think maybe this is a rebuild year for the basketball team, right? That is not the case. The men's basketball team has been going on a tear.
Yes.
Recently, they are undefeated in the GPAC, and they just beat Dakota Wesleyan in kind of a blowout, incredible offensive performance. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Go ahead. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So obviously, Concordia played Dakota Wesleyan, and they beat them 103-71.
Wow.
What a game it was. Not only that, all starters on the Bulldog side had double-digit points.
That's crazy.
You had Dane Jacobson with 12, Zach Koulis with 19, obviously Brooks Kissinger with 20. Sorry, Zach had 19. My apologies on that one. I said that wrong with it. But Brooks Kissinger had 20. Then Logan Wilson had 11. And then Jackson Stuve had 15.
Wow.
All guys on the starters had double-digit points. As well as Concordia was shooting for a total of 36-64 on field goals, which was 56.3%. And then on three-point, they were about 48.6, shooting 18-37. And then for free throws, 13-22, which was almost close to 60%, which was like 59.1, like 59%.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. We were almost shooting as well from three as from the free throw line.
Exactly.
Yeah, so just to shout out a couple of those three-point shooters. You got, you know, Dane, he was 2-for-3. You got Logan, he was 3-for-4. He's one of our big guys on defense. We don't really play with a center. We don't have anyone who's any of those starters who are like super huge, but Logan does a lot of that dirty work in the paint, and he shot 3-for-4 from 3. 2-for-3 on field goals, so he was shooting really well. He was, 3-for-4 from field goals, 2-for-3 on his free throws. Like you mentioned, he got 11 points. He had a block in the game as well, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. So he was doing really well all game long. We got Zach Koulis. He was 6-for-10 from 3. Nearly all of his points coming from the 3-point line. So it's really good from him overall. You look at the bench as well. Got a lot of people coming in off the bench. Jacob Dutzman, he got 7 points. We got MJ Coffey with a couple points. Garrett Johnson and Jerry Ingeson, each with 6. Got Tyler Heron, Jason Nelson getting off the bench and getting some points as well. And you talked about those shooting stats, that incredible 3-point percentage of 48.6, nearly half of our three-point shots were going in.
Exactly.
Yeah, really impressive performance. We held them. Their shooting was okay, actually. They shot 42.3 from three, so it's not like we just won because they were shooting bad. No. They actually had quite a good shooting game. From field goals, they weren't great, 42.6%, but from three, they were pretty dangerous. And still ended up getting a very convincing win over them.
Still, don't forget their free throws. Even though they didn't shoot a lot of free throws, they were 8 for 12 for their free throws, 66.7%, obviously, on their free throws. But the Bulldogs, obviously, were having, like, a high power offense as well, too. But their defense was actually showing up for them as well, too. I mean, you see the game as well, and just they were just shooting together. And knowing that they're on this win streak, being 8-2, obviously, I mean, undefeated in the GPAC is a way to make a statement. Obviously, see, would you call that a rebuilding year?
No, definitely not. This is a move it forward kind of year. So I agree with you completely. This is not a rebuilding year. This is really good to see so far from the Bulldogs. You look at some of the starters as well who, you know, it was a blowout, like we said. So a lot of our guys didn't even play the full game. You look at, you know, the star man, Brooks Kissinger. He didn't play the full game. He only played for, it was 27 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, 27 minutes, still got those 20 points. Zach only played 25. Dane, 27. You look at Brooks, he got 8 rebounds. If he plays another 5 minutes, he gets a double-double. He had 4 assists as well. So, yeah, this was a dominant performance with a lot of people coming in off the bench. Looks like we had just about 10 guys come off the bench, 9 guys come off the bench into this game. So we played 3 full lineups, basically, and still got the big win and still played some pretty good defense as well.
Yes, exactly.
And, yeah, the Bulldogs are currently ranked 24th in the country. I would not be shocked if that goes up after this one. You know, we're 6-2 at the last poll, 8-2 now. You think surely we don't drop?
You
know?
You wouldn't drop, but I feel like you can move up, like maybe like a couple of spots, like maybe like 2 spots.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, some good wins. Very excited to see what they can do next as they take on Midland tomorrow on Wednesday. We're recording this on a Tuesday in Fremont. Midland usually has a pretty solid team,
right?
They actually, so you know, we played UNO like a couple weeks ago. Midland actually played University of Nebraska Lincoln, UNL, a little bit before us as well. It was a bit worse for them than it was for us.
Yeah.
Actually, UNL's a better team than UNO this year.
Right.
It was like 50-90 in that one. Midland's 5-5 right now. They've had a loss against Mount Marty. They actually lost against Dakota Wesleyan. But then they beat Hastings and Waldorf recently. So coming into this game, you cannot overlook a team like this, and excited to see what they can do.
Yep. Okay, I gotta do this, the bad news right here. Remember you said we split with Dakota Wesleyan?
We did split.
So that means that we said that the men won their game, meaning that the women's basketball lost their game. And it's not as bad as a loss you get. You think it would be like maybe by 10 points or like maybe like double digits. They lost to Dakota Wesleyan 59-56.
Oof.
But the thing was that this was a top 15 ranked battle here. These both teams were ranked. So obviously the game starts here. Concordia was down 20-25 at half. Mm-hmm. No, it was a low scoring game, but then obviously just they weren't really shooting well on their percentage wise throughout the whole game. I mean, Concordia was 18-65 for their field goal, 27.7%. They were 10-26 for 3, 38.5%, and 10-18 for free throws, 55.5. But even though there were some things, bad news is that the star players. Now, you would say, who would you think, again, obviously we're going to do another game, who you think was like the star player of this game?
Yeah, you'd think, you know, someone like Kristen Wieselmeyer, Sammy Liu, maybe Raylan Kelty, Ayla Rothsman, good, Bree Bunting, another one of those starters. You think one of them does the best?
I'm sorry to say this, no, not this time, buddy. The star player, obviously, for tonight as well was, well, the person that had the most points was Savannah Butterfield for 10 points coming off the bench.
So the only Bulldog to get double digits. She also only played 19 minutes.
Exactly.
So I'm assuming she...
She was 4-for-9 for free for her field goal. Mm-hmm. She was 2-for-4 for three. But if you look at, obviously, the starters, Ayla Roth, she did not have her best game. I mean, people are going to have those, not those best games. She was 1-for-11 for field goals. She was 1-for-5 for three. 3-for-8 for free throws. Same thing with Bree Bunting. 3-for-14 for field goals. 1-for-6 on her three attempts. No free throws attempts at all. You just see, like, it's just been, it was like that type of game that was, like, a little bit of, like, nothing was seeming right. But they still fought hard. I mean, Ayla Roth had 6 points, Bree had 7, Sammy Lou had 8, Raylan had 8, and Kristen had 7.
Yeah, so I think that the diagnosis for this game is just we did not shoot well. Savannah Butterfield shot decent. Raylan Kelty shot decent, just she didn't shoot that much. She was 3-for-5, 2-for-4. Sammy Lou shot okay, 3-for-8 from the field, 2-for-4 from three. But as an overall team, just did not shoot the ball well enough. And if you don't make your baskets, you're not going to win the game.
Yeah. And obviously, if you were to look at Dakota Westland's percentage, they had their self. It was like a little bit of a – that's why the game was so low. I mean, they were 23-for-67 for 34.3%. They were 1-for-10 for free for three.
Oh, wow.
10% for three. And 12-for-20 for their free throws. They had 60%. So most of the points were coming from the free throw and in the field goal attempt. Because if you were to look, you have Shaylin Nogle from Dakota Western who had 10 rebounds. Then Avery Bot had 16, and Emma Yost had 10 rebounds. They were controlling the game with the rebounds. You can see that they combined right there for like 36 rebounds total with three players.
Yeah, so they have. Now that's a really good point. Those rebounds, those second chance points. Both teams weren't shooting well in this game, but you're gonna get more shots off when you get more rebounds. So they combined as a team, they had 57 total rebounds. We had just 36 rebounds. They had 20 offensive rebounds. We had 10. They had 37 defensive rebounds. We had 26. So, a great point from you. They were getting a lot more rebounds than us, and that translates to more points. More shot attempts, more points when you're not shooting the ball well. Those second chance efforts are very important.
Exactly. I mean, knowing that, I mean, the undefeated streak is over. Sally and Nisei, you know, we're hoping they can go 10-0 before they go against Midland, but now they're sitting at 9-1 and 5-1. 9-1 overall, 5-1 in the GPAC, but they're still in first place, obviously, in first place in the division right now, and they're going to go against Midland as well, too. Now, I feel like this game was just an off game of not shooting well, and you're going to have those games. And Corey is going to probably look back as well, be fired up, and just take some time just to get some of the shots back up. I mean, those shots are going to fall. It was just that game that the shots didn't fall as much well.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you mentioned Concordia still topping the GPAC right now. Surprisingly, Dort has a loss on the season. They're usually number one in the nation. So very surprising to see them get a loss. They lost to Doan in overtime.
Wow.
Just a little bit unexpected. Because Doan... I don't know, they've been okay this year, I think. Actually, no, that was their one win of the season.
Dude, don't do that to them, all right? Like, give them some credit, obviously, for doing that one with it.
But yeah, just... I mean, they beat Northwestern, they beat Dort, but that's their one win of the season.
Really?
Wow. They beat Dort, but then they lost to us by 30. They lost to Northwestern by 15. They lost to Hastings by 23, they lost to Briarcliff by 20. So that is very surprising to see that loss. But hey, I guess we'll take it.
You kind of got to take it.
Yeah. that gives Concordia a big opportunity to top the GPAC.
Yes.
Stay ranked, because it seems like every team in this division right now, every team in the GPAC is capable of beating anyone else. Obviously, you back the better teams to win the games, but that Doan-Dort game shows you that anyone can beat anyone on their day. Dort was ranked number one in the country.
That's a big upset.
At 7-0, and then they lose to Doan.
That's a big upset. That's incredibly like March big. Madness type deal upset, but not really.
Yeah, I mean that's a 0-4 Doan team at that point in the GPAC playing a 4-0 Dort team. So yeah, well, that's very surprising.
Yeah, you know what else is surprising though? We got a national champion here though.
We do in fact have a national champion. So this national championship happened at the 2025 Virus Nationals in Florida for weightlifting, and Caden Mima is the champion of the open title in the under-20s division, it looks like. So like the junior division, they do it by age group and weight. His total weight was 233 pounds, and then 233 kg. And then the next closest, or second place, was 220. Weightlifting, they do two different lifts. They do the snatch and then the clean and jerk. You get three attempts for each one. Caden, on his first snatch, he got 100 kilograms, then 103, and then 106. Clean and jerk, he failed his first lift, but then got 127 on his second attempt, and then failed out on 133. And that gives him a total kilogram score of 233 kilograms. And just to do some quick math here real quick.
Quick math.
So for all of us Americans who use freedom units,
yep.
60 kg is equal to 132 pounds.
Okay.
And he was 106 in the snatch.
Yep.
And that's the one where you go straight from the ground and lift it over your head.
Yep.
There's no clean. You just lift it straight up. So 132 pound dude snatched 233 pounds.
Goodness gracious.
Then on the clean and jerk, mind you, he's 132 pounds. He did a clean and jerk of 280 pounds.
What is going on here?
That's two plates and essentially 25s.
I don't know what. Hey, I'm going to give props to the parents for whatever they're feeding that kid, but obviously him and everything, but like, where are you feeding that kid?
Yeah, he was fed on a diet of raw steak and eggs, yeah. Apparently.
Steak and eggs. Ooh, that sounds good right now.
Yeah, so incredible from him, and that congratulations to him as well for being a national champion. We also had a couple other athletes do pretty well as well and place in the top three of the, I think everyone was competing in the junior age group. It's six Concordia athletes achieved scores above 300. So they do it by a Q score, which basically calculates how good a lift was based on your weight class. So we had Mima. He was actually second highest for Q score with 373. We had Evan Fukuhara, and then we had Enzo Mancini. We had Abigail Nelson and Marcus Sweet. So we had top three finishers, Mancini, Nelson, and Sweet. And then we had Michael Davidge and then Nolan Groutman all in that 300 range. So one national champion, three more in the top three.
Wow.
So that just shows you how impressive the Concordia weightlifting team is. And in a lot of these lifting sport divisions, there's no NAIA D3, D2, D1. It's all together. So they're likely going against athletes from Division I universities. Now, a lot of good lifting programs are NAIA or D3, but you have pretty much everyone. Like we had Gator Weightlifting, which sounds like Florida. We had Jacksonville was there. LSU was there. We had, of course, Concordia University Weightlifting, but just a lot of different athletes from all over the country. This was truly a national competition, and it was definitely good competition.
Yep.
And came out on top.
Wow. Way away.
Yeah. Placed fifth as a team. So really cool there. You want to preview that track meet coming up real soon?
Yes, I will. I mean, early bird's coming. We got Multis coming up here this Friday, as well as I got the schedule for those who are wondering what is going to happen for Friday. Friday is only multis. Multis will start at 2 o'clock p.m. with the 60-meter hurdles for the women. Then 2:35 is high jump for women. Obviously, every single event is going to start. For women, obviously, it's going to do 2 o'clock at women's first, then 2:15, the men's are going to do the 60-meter dash. Then at 2:35, women are going to do the high jump, men are going to do the long jump. Then shot put for women at that time, then after that, shot put for men. Women are going to do the long jump, then 800 to finish the day. For the men's side, they're going to finish with the high jump for that day. Then Saturday, they're going to start with the 60-meter hurdles, then pole vault, then the 1,000-meter run.
All right. And so, that's all for that, those multis?
Well, on that Saturday. So then, obviously, for Saturday, which is going to be a lot of things to go with, I'm not going to go, obviously, the big old field things because, obviously, the paper is going to be out there for everybody. The running events will start at 12 o'clock.
With our favorite race. The 3K race walk.
Yep, the race walk. But for field events, at 12 o'clock, the women's long jump will begin and the men's weight throw will begin at that time. Now, for those that are asking for the running events will go more than 10 minutes ahead of schedule. That's it. There's never going to be like 15 minutes or 20 minutes ahead of schedule. It's only 10 minutes ahead of schedule. Sometimes you might be a little bit delayed. The schedule is out there, but it's not going to go by the book because how long these flights are going to be. Entries will be out soon. So we actually stay tuned.
Yeah, and if you want to find out a little bit more information about the meet, check out the Bulldog Athletics website. Jake Knobel has a great article previewing it, has the official meet schedule on there. And if you check out the article, you get a nice little beauty shot of our very own Aaron Spivey doing a little triple jump.
They actually put my head, they actually put it back there. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, check out that great picture of Spivey. And check out some more information about the track and field meet. Concordia students, of course, get in free. For everyone else, it's going to be $10 for adults, $3 for seniors, $3 for K through 12 students.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you show up from 3:40 to 5:30, you can give me your money to get in.
Oh, you'll be working there.
I'll be working track admissions, yep.
So you'll be able to see Kai be working at security while you'll be seeing Aaron Spivey here doing his triple jump.
Exactly. And Aaron Spivey's triple jump is going to start at 2 o'clock.
Well, that says men's long jump first, but it falls by it.
True. So probably 2:15.
About three.
Oh, three? It's going to be that long?
Because it's finals. Oh, my gosh. Finals. Ah. Finals, don't forget there might be 3 flights. That's the thing. Once the entries come out, then you'll see why it's with it. But stay tuned for that one for sure. But I'm pretty sure I got everything on my end. Kai, what about yourself?
Sounds about it for me. It's been an exciting week in Concordia sports, but not too many different things going on. Glad we got to cover volleyball, basketball, all this stuff a little bit more in depth today. But for now, that is going to be all from this episode of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to follow us at cuneso.com/podcast and give us a follow, drop a comment, leave a review on Spotify. From Kai Ulrich and Aaron Spivey and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!